I want to preach this morning out of the book of Deuteronomy. And if you have your Bibles, please do turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 31. In this passage of Scripture we're going to examine this morning, Moses is an old man. He is at the point of death. His work is finished, and he is being called to go to be with the Lord. And just prior to his leaving, prior to his departure, the children of Israel have been wandering 40 years in the wilderness, and they are about to enter into the land of Canaan. God spoke to Moses and told him that he was giving him a song. And he said, I want you to rehearse this song before the people and let them hear the words of this song. And so Moses, in verse number 28 of chapter number 31, spoke to those that were working with him and helping him, and he said these words, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. In other words, from the beginning to the end, Moses spoke all of the words of this song. Now, as the Lord was giving me this passage of Scripture, and I perhaps if the opportunity presents itself a little later, I'll share with you how he did. Now, I've read this story many times, as I'm sure many of you have as well. But you know, there's a difference when the Holy Spirit illuminates God's Word for you. When the light of the Spirit of God shines on the pages of this book and causes the truth to break upon your heart and the truth of God to burst forth on the inside, as I was reading through this passage and the revelation was coming, I just began to weep with joy, just wonderful, marvelous joy. As we're reading through this passage, you may wonder why I felt that way, because portions of it are not very joyful. But as we get on through this morning, I believe you'll see why I felt that way, and I pray that God's Spirit will give you the same understanding and the same revelation. Moses is about to die. He is giving, on God's instruction, warning to the people, because God has shown him that after his death, that the people will no longer do the words that were commanded them, but rather they will do evil. And because of the evil that they would do, they would provoke God to anger, and there would be disaster in their lives. Two objectives, I believe, the Holy Spirit has for us this morning. Two things he wants us to see from this passage of Scripture. One, what happens when God's people depart from his word? What takes place when the people of God, these are not heathen now he's talking about, these are the people of God, the chosen of God. What happens when they stop doing the Word of God and depart from it? Secondly, God would have us to understand his attitude towards his people when they depart. Now, you're going to hear some things this morning, probably as we read through the Scripture, that will confirm some things that you've heard. But don't you leave here today until I'm finished. Because if you leave in the middle of what we're doing this morning, you will not really hear the message. The message comes at the end. All right? Now, for those of you who may have to go for whatever reason, you be sure that you find out what I've said. Otherwise, you're not going to hear the message that the Holy Spirit wants preached. You only hear a part of it. All right, let's just read through this in chapter 32, beginning at verse 1. The Song of Moses. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. I'm going to speak forth the word of God. I'm going to show you the nature of our God. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Moses is saying that God is right, he's just. The word that is translated there, truth, literally means in the Hebrew, faithfulness. Our God is a God of faithfulness. Verse 5, they, that is the people of God, have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Now, Moses is singing here prophetically. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? In other words, is this the way you repay the Lord? Is this the way you're going to treat him after he's the one that bought you and established you and made you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. If you've forgotten what God did for you, ask your older folks and they'll tell you. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Moses is rehearsing now the history of Israel from Egypt to the present, and saying that God had brought them out of that waste place, and he alone did it. He had no help. He did it himself. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, that is of cows, and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. In other words, what God gave you was absolutely the very best. You had the best of everything, and he gave it to you in a supernatural way. How could you go back on him? That's what Moses is saying here. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Now this word Jeshurun, we'll come back to that, but it's another name for Israel. They waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. When everything was going great, and he had plenty to eat, and everything was cozy, he got fat and happy and dumb, and he turned away from God. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils or unto destroyers, and not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. And of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward or crooked generation, children in whom is no faith or faithfulness. That word literally means faith. Now, what's Moses saying here about the people? They began, you'll remember now that God's people at this time had a very small portion of the law of God. All they had was what God had given Moses on the mount. He gave 10 commandments. Those commandments were to, the first four of them were to love God, to love him completely, to not have any images, to not make any images, to not take his name in vain, to have no other gods before them. But what Moses is saying here is that the children were not faithful to do what God had told them to do. Now today, we have a much greater revelation of God because Jesus has come and revealed God to us, and we have a better understanding of God and a better revelation and a better knowledge. At that point, all God required of them was for them to be faithful of what they knew. But they were children that had no faithfulness. They weren't at all like God, who is a faithful God. And they began to sacrifice and make oblation to other gods. Actually, they were making them to devils. And God said, when I saw that, I hid my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. What did God do? He turned his back on them when they turned their back on him. And he said, I'm not going to have to do anything to them. All I have to do is remove my mercy from them. Then I will see when they begin to experience the fruits of what they have done, I will see what their end will be, and I'll see whether they will realize what's happening to them, and I'll see whether they will turn back unto me. We're told in the book of Lamentations I'm going to turn to it here so I can read it to you, but you want to make a note of it, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22, Jeremiah said this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we would have already been consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. If it wasn't for God's preservation and God's protection, we'd have already been destroyed. That's what Jeremiah is saying to the people there. And it's the same is true for us. And so God's speaking here that when my people turn away from me, all I'm going to do is just turn away from them. I'm going to turn my protection away from them. I'm going to turn my face away from them and let them go in their own devices. They have moved me, verse 21, to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities or their empty things. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. In other words, I'm going to use another nation to bring judgment against my people. Now, we know that that's exactly what happened to God's people many, many years later. When they turned from God and God turned away from them and let them go to their own devices, that the Assyrians and the Babylonians came in and destroyed them. Verse number 22 describes God's attitude, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. Once I get angry, it takes it's a strong fire that burns. And shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and the terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. Young, old, male, female, they're all going down. And I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. In other words, I was so angry that I would have let them ceased from being, except their enemies, these Assyrians and Babylonians, when they come in. And after being so successful, they would say, our hand is high, rather than recognizing that they were the instrument of the Lord's judgment. Verse 28, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock. In other words, your enemies' gods are not like our God, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people, and repent himself for his servants, when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. In other words, when judgment comes upon the people of God, and when being left to their own devices, when destruction comes, even though it comes through another people, God said, I'll remember that. And when my people finally see that their own power is gone, and when they finally see that they are like dust and without me that they cannot do anything, when they finally understand that, then I will come to their rescue. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? And let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, or Joshua, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of the speaking all these words to Israel, and he said to them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain or empty thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Now, this is it's a lengthy passage of Scripture, but it's a terribly important passage for us to understand what happens when the people of God depart from the Word of God and what his attitude is towards that. Moses said that this is not an empty thing I've just sung to you. This is not a vain song. It's your life. And if you'll understand what I have just sung, if you'll understand what I just read, it will prolong your days in the land. It will be beneficial to you to understand what has just gone forth. Now, many folks will read this passage of Scripture, and it is kind of bloody, isn't it? The sword of God dripping blood and all those kinds of references here. God said, I'll kill and I'll make alive, I'll wound and I'll heal. And that doesn't really sound like the God we know, does it? And do you wonder as you read through that, now why would God talk like that? And why does he speak that way? And why does he bring or allow to come judgment upon his people? And why does he get angry towards his people? And why does he take vengeance upon the enemies of his people? And many read that passage of Scripture and others like it, particularly in the Old Testament, and either are very confused about the nature of God or have a terribly warped evaluation of how he is. Now, we know that the New Testament describes God for how he really is. Jesus Christ, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, didn't we? As of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is, in fact, God, as we were saying before. He is the nature and the character of God. And it's difficult for us to see Jesus in this mold and then to see the God that is described here in the Song of Moses as being one and the same. And I believe that what the Lord wants us to do this morning is to look at that. First of all, I think it's important for us to see that God treats his people as free agents. God's people are free to choose to either be faithful to what He has commanded or to be unfaithful. Even though you have been born again, you've been translated out of the bondage of sin, you no longer have to serve sin, but you can if you want to. You are still a free person. You can choose to be a doer of the Word of God and be like Him, or you can choose to do your old works. You can choose to be as God designed for you to be, or you can choose to fall back into your old corruption. We have a free choice to make. God's people have always had a free choice. When you come to Jesus and take Him as your Savior and as the Lord of your life, you do that by free choice. Nobody forces you. Nobody coerces you. You may be encouraged, but you cannot be forced to be born again. That is something that happens to you by your free will, your free volition, and according to the free choice that God has given you. When you are born again, God does not remove your right to choose. Nor when He delivered the Israelites from Egypt, did He remove their freedom to choose. And they could from that day until this, and so shall it always be, we have the right to choose. That's the kind of God He is. Did you know that the angels themselves had freedom of choice? A third of them chose to follow Satan, to follow Lucifer, and they fell from the grace of God. Two-thirds chose to live for God and to serve God forever. That's the choice that we all make as the creatures of God, whether we are created in the image and likeness of God as far as a flesh and blood human being, or whether we've been recreated by the Spirit of God through the new birth. We have the right to make a free choice. These Israelites, Moses said, would make the wrong choice. They would choose not to do the will and the Word of God. The reason that they were destroyed was because they corrupted themselves. It was not something that God did to them, but something that they did to themselves. Watch it in verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. Moses said God's children don't have spots. The spots that they have are not like what God made them to be. It's not something God did. It's something that they did to themselves. They're a perverse and a crooked generation. And in verse 20, God said, because of that, I'm going to hide My face from them, and I will see what their end will be. I'm going to see what's going to happen to them. I'm going to leave them to their own devices. And when things begin to turn from bad to worse, perhaps they will see what they have done and they will elect to reverse that choice and decide to be a doer of the Word of God. I'm going to hide My face from them. I'm going to stop protecting them from the inevitable, and I'm going to allow their own corruption. I'm going to allow their own iniquity. I'm going to allow their own lifestyle to catch up with them. If they want to give sacrifices to devils, if they want to make gods out of the things of this world, and if they want to worship them, then I'm going to see whether those gods are able to satisfy the needs and the desires of the people. I'm going to let them see what kind of gods they really have, and I'm going to stop intervening in their life. I'm going to stop protecting them against the things that they're doing. I want you to notice in verse number 3 that even in spite of God allowing these things to come upon the people, and that's why God's people were destroyed, is because the Lord allowed their own devices to catch up with them. In spite of it, though, and this is the thing that thrilled my heart, or a portion of it. Watch this carefully in verse number 3. Moses said, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Now, Moses is about to show the greatness of God. We see God angry, according to the scripture that we read on over in verse 21 and 2 and 3 and down through that, we see an angry God. Angry because of sin. Angry because of corruption. Angry because the people of God refused the blessings of God and chose to be destroyed. But what is God feeling in his heart? Watch this. The greatness of our God is not his power. It's not his glory. It's not his incomparable brightness. The greatness of our God is the completeness of his work and his faithfulness towards us. I want to say that again. The greatness of our God, according to Moses' song, is not his magnificent glory. It's not his omnipotent power, but it is his faithfulness and the completeness or the perfectness of his work. Ascribe ye greatness unto the Lord. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth or faithfulness and without iniquity, just and right is he. The rock's work is perfect. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the work of God. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the work that God did for these people when he brought them out of Egypt with a high and mighty hand, miracle after miracle after miracle, gave them water from the rock. They ate the very best. He gave them angels, food from heaven, manna from heaven. When they cried for flesh, he gave them flesh. He gave them the rams of Bashan. They drank the pure juice of the grape. They had the best of everything. God's work is perfect. And it's the same with you, beloved. Listen to me. How many of you are born again? Born again of the Spirit of God. God's work in you is what? Perfect. There's absolutely nothing lacking in what God did for you. There's absolutely nothing more that he could do to make it any better for you. He's the rock and his work is complete. His work is entire. His work lacks nothing. Inside you is a complete and finished work. The rock is perfect. Moses said, ascribe the greatness of the Lord. The thing that makes God great is his work is perfect and he is faithful to it. That is the greatness of God. I believe as Christians, we have a very short understanding of what our God has really done for us and what he has placed within us, a perfect and entire work, complete. Verse number 9. Now watch this. This, I can't tell you how this thrilled me, and I pray that it will you. God's attitude towards his people. For the Lord's portion is his people. Think about that. The Lord's portion is his people. Psalm 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell in it. But do you know what God really wants out of all of that? You and me. All the rest of it is nothing. The portion that God wants is his people. The most precious thing in all of the creation, all of the galaxies of the universe, is the people of Almighty God. That is the most precious thing in the sight of God and in the heart of God is his people. We say, I want this and 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 I want this. God only wants one thing, his people. That's all he wants. His work is perfect. His portion is his people. You and me
And our brothers and sisters all over this world, the ones who have lived before, the ones that are living today, and the ones that will come after us if the Lord does not come, that is what God wants out of the whole thing. It's not the moon and the stars that he wants. It's not the earth that he wants. It's us. It's his people. We are his portion. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. That's the whole thing. Do you realize, now get a hold of this. Do you realize that everything that has ever happened, everything that is happening today, everything that ever will happen, the only thing that is significant about any of the events of history is as they relate to God Almighty and his people. That's the only thing that's going to last. Everything else is going to be destroyed. The earth is going to be destroyed. The heavens are going to be destroyed. The wicked is going to be destroyed. Everything that you see around you is going to burn up. You know this chair that you're sitting on is going to burn. You know the clothes that you're wearing, they're going to burn. You know the house that you're living in, it's going to be gone. You know the car that you're driving, gone. Everything except you and me, praise God, will be gone. The people of God are the portion and the inheritance of God. That's what he cares about. Now here he is in the middle of a song that Moses is singing. And God speaking through Moses prophetically saying, I want my people to know that they're my portion. They're my inheritance. I found them in a desert, but they're the apple of my eye. And beloved, even when you miss it, even when you miss it, and you, anybody in here never missed it? Anybody? I want to find out how you do it if you haven't. Even when you miss it, you're still the people of God, the apple of his eye, the Lord leading you and training you like the eagle does her young. Now watch verse number 15. I told you I'd come back to this in just a moment, and this is the moment. And this is how I get into this scripture in the first place. The other evening, I don't see her here this morning, but one of the ladies in the congregation called me at home and said, I've just been praying here at home. She didn't tell me what she'd been praying about, but she said, just been talking to the Lord, and he's impressing a passage of scripture on me. And I'm calling you by obedience, out of obedience, and I had just felt that he wanted me to call you and give you this passage of scripture. And it was a passage over in Isaiah. It wasn't this passage at all. It was over in Isaiah. And I read through it right after she hung up the telephone, and I thought, well, yes, it may be the Lord. I didn't know that it wasn't the Lord, but there wasn't anything particular in there that ministered to me in any way, and I wasn't really getting anything from it. And so I stuck a piece of paper in that place in my Bible because I wanted to come back to it when I had more time and just pray over it and meditate over it and make sure if there was something in there, I wanted to be sure and get it. And so as I was seeking the Lord for the message for this morning, I happened to open my Bible there and that piece of paper was the only one in there, and so my Bible opened to that page. And I remembered that, and I just read those four verses. And there was one word in those verses that I didn't understand. It was the word Yeshurun, J-E-S-U-R-U-N, Yeshurun. I didn't know what that meant, and the first time I read it, I thought, well, I need to check that out and see what that is. It kind of struck my attention. And then as I was thinking about this, that word came again. I thought, I've got to figure out what that is. And over in the margin of my Bible, it said, PP, parallel passage, Deuteronomy 32:15. That's how I got into this passage here. And I went over and began to read it. And here's that same word, Yeshurun again. I read the whole passage and I could see what was going on. I said, well, I don't understand what's the significance of that? And so I got my Bible dictionary out. And I looked up the word Yeshurun, and do you know what it means? It's another name for Israel. It's used four times in the Bible. It means upright one. Hallelujah. It means upright one. Every other place that this word is used, it's a title of honor given by the Holy Spirit to the people of God. And here we are right in the middle of a passage of Scripture that describes the wretched corruption in the people of God. And the Holy Spirit calls them Yeshurun. Yeshurun, my upright one, my portion, my inheritance. I haven't forgotten you. I left you to your own devices, but you're still my upright one. You're still my people. You're still my portion. You're still my inheritance. No, no, no. Just because you've got the name, no, you don't go play the game. You turn back to me. You turn back to me when you find that you don't have any power of your own. You turn back to me, and then I will take vengeance upon your enemies. Rejoice with me, O people. And I began to see this whole passage of Scripture in a completely different light. And I began to see many passages like it in the Old Testament in a completely different light. Do you see it? In the midst of their backsliding, in the midst of their sin, God calls them Yeshurun. Just because they sinned did not make them to lose their place with God. And it's the same for you, beloved, and for me. Just because you miss the mark does not cause you to lose your salvation. It doesn't cause you to lose your place with God. It'll break your fellowship with the Lord, yes. He'll hide his face from you. He sure will. Things will go from bad to worse. And then get worse still. But God Almighty still says, Yeshurun. The apple of mine eye. My work is perfect. What I did in you is perfect. It's complete. It's entire. There's nothing else for me to do. Just turn from your corruption. Just stop doing what you're doing and turn back to me. That's all I want you to do. If you'll do that, I'll turn. There are consequences to our actions. When we miss it, and especially when we willingly and knowingly turn our back on God, there are consequences to pay. He wants us to understand that. Look with me at verse number 28. And God's people are very much like these people today. The people of God today are very much like the people of God here hundreds of years ago. The Word of God. This is God speaking to his people. Listen to him. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Hosea said in chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. They're a people that doesn't have any understanding. Verse 29, the desire of God. God's desire is not to punish. God's desire is not to torment. Oh, that they were wise, that they understand this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them? In other words, nobody can come against a child of God. Nobody. When God's protection and God's mercy is present in a person's life, he can chase 1,000 and two of us can chase 10,000. You see? But when God has hidden his face from us, it works in reverse. Hey? In reverse. And we are unable to stand before our enemies. And they come along and they mow us down and say, oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. Oh, sister, pray for me. I'm going through a terrible situation here. One chases one devil chases 1,000 believers. Two devils chases 10,000. How can that be unless the rock of God has hidden his face? And so what's he saying? Oh, I wish they would just understand this. Oh, Oh, I wish they would come to the end of the rope and say, oh God, I can't do anything without you, and turn back to him. Hosea 13:9 says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. The New Testament says it a little differently in Galatians 6:7 and says, be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament God, Old Testament God, they're the same. And the principles are the same. But the love of God never fails. Deuteronomy 32:36. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there's none shut up or left. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. See, we see, and when we read a passage like this one, we see about the blood dripping from the sword, but we never read far enough to see the mercy of God extending to the people. And we don't understand that the reason the blood drips from the sword is because of our own ignorance. The reason the blood drips from the sword is because of our own stupidity and our own vanity and our own wickedness sometimes in turning away from the true and living God and turning to gods that can't help. Devils and the gods of this world. Moses said, God will be merciful unto his people. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The work of the rock is perfect. Unfortunately, our work is not always perfect. What God has done for us is perfect. What we do for him is not always perfect. And therefore, we stand in need of his forgiveness. We stand in need to have him minister to us. And when we find ourselves in the same kind of a situation that these Hebrews did, we don't want to run from the Lord. We want to run to him. The words of the prophet Joel in chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments. Stop wringing your hands and wring your heart. Stop saying, oh, woe is me, and tearing your clothes apart in distress, running hither, thither, and yon, and rip your heart, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Now that's our God. Now that's the one true and the living God. That is the Lord God Almighty. His work in you and his work in me is perfect. There's nothing more that needs to be done. There's nothing more that can be done. Once you have a work that's finished, you don't go back and redo it. What God has done for us is finished. It's complete. Our sins have been purged and we have been made brand new creatures. It remains for us to determine each day and with every situation whether we're going to choose to do the Word of God and let that be our life, or choose to corrupt ourselves by refusing to do the Word of God and suffer the destruction that comes with it. Now, if you're riding right now on the crest of the wave, you're riding in the joy of your salvation and you have got it, man, together, and you know God and he knows you and you're happy and your cup is running over with the joy of the Lord and the gladness that God gives and everything is just cool. They still using that word? Cool? Do I date myself? Date myself, somebody said. Then you be sober and be vigilant. And you be wary that just because you've been born again doesn't mean that your whole life is going to be that way. There will be opportunities for you to choose or beware. He that standeth needs to be careful lest he fall. And so if you're standing today, don't you think that just because you're standing and because the work of God is perfect, that you're never going to fall, that you're never going to have any difficulty? Be sober and be vigilant is counsel given to Christians. If today you're not riding the crest of the wave, but rather the waves are overflowing you and you're about to drown, then the Lord says, rend your heart and not your clothes. And turn to Him. Turn to the Lord. For He is gracious and He is merciful and He wants to forgive and He wants to forget and He wants to put you back up on high again. Now that also is the truth of God. You can make a choice today. Those of you that are in the pit, and everything is coming in against you, and you're about to be destroyed. You can make a choice to either stay there, or you can make a choice to decide that your power is all gone, that you don't have anything left. And you turn your life and yourself, and you give it to the Lord anew and afresh. And you say, Lord, I'm undone. Your work is perfect, but I'm not. And I cast myself upon your mercy. Would you bow your heads, please?